This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. The playoffs are here, and we are so excited to bring all of the talk about the NBA playoffs after this restart in Orlando with what are 8 series here in this opening round, just like you'd have in any other playoffs. But this one's a little bit different because for the first time in 8 years, the Warriors are not participating in the NBA playoffs. As we are joined here by Tim Roy, it feels a little bit strange, Tim.
It is. It's a little bit odd. Let's face it. It's unusual across the board when you take into account that you know the Warriors aren't in it for the first time in 8 playoffs. This is August. A lot of the Bay Area is going to hit 100 degrees this week for a few days, and it's just, you know, we're locked in our houses in a pandemic. So it is. It's a little odd, but I think it's going to be just what the doctor ordered. If we get to see some really good, solid, spirited NBA basketball, that will be maybe a little bit of a tonic for what has been a very unusual and very distressing year.
You know, before we go series by series, a question for you. And I think back to the Warriors' success in making 5 straight NBA finals. A lot of it is the mental toughness that it takes and the focus that it takes. In this situation, what do you think is going to win the day for the team that takes the title? Is it going to be talent, or is it going to be that mental aspect, the focus that it will take? It's a question that I've had coming into this playoffs.
I think it's a very good question. I think you use the exact appropriate word, focus. The team that's going to stay focused, stay locked in, and not be distracted by the fact that your families are not around you, that you're not in your normal situation. You know, you hit a big shot at a home playoff game, and there's, you know, canned response. This is going to require a great degree of mental toughness, and I think it's going to be interesting to see which teams respond well and which teams don't. You know, a lot of times we'll see in playoff situations, a lot of guys are really good at home, not so good on the road, and this is neither. This is almost clinical basketball, and so I think it's going to be a little bit of a different take for these guys, and I think that again, focus and just keeping yourself locked in is going to be a big key to who advances and who's holding the Larry O'Brien Trophy at the end of it all. And simply because I think there's no clear-cut favorite in my book. You know, I know a lot of people felt the Lakers were coming in, but I really see 4 or 5 teams that could possibly win it.
All right, we'll talk about them all, and let's start in the West. Rockets, Thunder. This series intrigues me the most, and I'm kind of wondering how you think Houston fares without Russell Westbrook, and is this Thunder team primed to not only just perhaps knock off the Rockets, but take it even further?
Well, again, each one of these series, you know, we go back to which team matches up with which, and I think you know, there's a lot of variables here. Chris Paul is not the young Chris Paul. He is now a veteran point guard. And, you know, the problem I see for him is that Chris Paul is so good at coming off a screen and then torturing, you know, a big player. You know, we saw him try to do that against the Warriors with the Clippers. We saw him try to do that as a member of the Houston Rockets. And so now he's playing a team that's all small. So whenever he gets a pick and roll and there's a switch, well, it's another small guy. Maybe it's Covington. Maybe it's Harden. And these are guys that not necessarily guys that he can automatically blow by like he could, you know, earlier in his career. So I think that's a problem for OKC. But I love OKC's spirit. I love their balance. Schroeder has played well against the Rockets. But to me, the Rockets are always going to come down to really one thing. Are they making shots? And if their shots, those threes, aren't falling at a high enough rate, they're very vulnerable. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who steps up. You know, will it be Gordon? You know, who steps up for the Rockets in this particular case? Because, you know, I without Westbrook, they have a, you know, obviously a void there on the nights where Harden is getting a lot of attention.
You called it a couple of weeks ago as we were heading toward a weekend of action where Denver and Utah were to play, and you're like, this is going to be a great game, and this could be a playoff series, and now it is. The Nuggets, the Jazz, this one, if that double overtime game is any indication, should be a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be interesting to see Denver. You know, they continue to play well. They get Murray back. That's going to be a very nice key for them. But again, Jokic is their real key. The offense goes through him. He's very talented. He has to stay out of foul trouble for Denver to be successful. And Utah is a very good shooting team. Their defense isn't as good as it's been in years gone by. So I'm wondering, you know, if they can score enough. And again, they have some matchup problems. I did watch one of the games in the bubble, and for a while they had Joe Ingles on Paul Millsap, and they can get away with that matchup because Millsap is not posting up the way he used to do earlier in his career. So I'm wondering if can he flip the switch and become Paul Millsap of, say, 8 years ago and get his, you know, can down to the box and do some work down there. So, but I think it's going to be a very good series. I think it's going to go deep, but I kind of like Denver in this series simply because the Jazz, you know, they don't have Bogdanović. Ed Davis got hurt over the week, the last week of the bubble. Conley was away because of the birth of his son. Congratulations to him. He's one of the good guys in the NBA. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how Utah can gel together against a talented Denver team that I think is starting to really come of age.
The Clippers and the Mavs, both teams with a lot of talent, but the Mavs are coming in as a seventh seed. What do you think they could possibly do to upset a two seed?
They would have to have Luka Doncic would have to become the, you know, star that he is eventually going to become. You know, it's funny because if you read some of the people who cover the Dallas Mavericks, you know, they've been saying that Doncic hadn't played well. Then you look at his numbers and you go, what are you kidding me? You know, he's only 21. And I think, you know, I don't think he's ready for this step just yet. I think he will be ready soon. And that's going to be a problem for everybody in the West, as if the West needs any more problems. So I think the Clippers are just too deep and too good, too experienced for Dallas at this point. But Dallas, I think, can win a couple of games in the series simply because of Doncic. But I don't think he's ready to take this step where they could upset the Clippers.
Ask you a similar question here with regard to the Trailblazers and Lakers series. The Blazers getting past the Grizzlies in that play-in game and really working their way into this eighth spot. Could they give the Lakers the kind of problems that could possibly end up in an upset?
You know, I didn't really think so until CJ McCollum played so well in that playing game with a fracture in his back. I mean, he was outstanding. Now, granted, that was against a very young Memphis team. And again, here's another footnote. Another young team that's going to get better is Memphis, and Phoenix won the last eight in the bubble. But I think Portland can give them some problems. I think Portland can win a game or two. It really depends to me on can the Lakers flip the switch. They look pretty sluggish. They look very uninterested, which, you know, very hard for them. This would be exactly the way the Lakers would have ended the regular season. They were kind of locked in the number one spot, and they really didn't have anything to play for. But the only thing that would give me, yeah, if I'm a Blazer fan, that would give me some real hope in this series is the guard line. And the Lakers are going to be huge up front if they start this lineup they've been going with LeBron and Caldwell Pope basically playing guard spots. But that's going to be hard for those two guys to chase McCollum and Lillard and try to stay in front of them for an entire game. So I think that's a matchup. If Portland can spread the floor and get some good matchups off of switches, I think they can really, you know, have some fun in this series. And also Jusuf Nurkić, my goodness, just diving for loose balls. He looks like the player he was, you know, when he first came to the league, and there's so much promise there. And it's good to see him back on the floor and healthy. And with him going on the floor and Whiteside, they can kind of go big with the Lakers too. So, but to me, the key matchup in this series is Anthony Davis. Yeah, I don't think Portland has a guy that can really hang with Davis either. With, you know, if you put a Whiteside on Davis, too quick, too skilled, I think, for someone like him or for Nurkić. Collins, I think Davis can overpower him a little bit. So I see the Lakers winning this series, but there's a chance Portland can have some fun.
All right, let's turn things over to the Eastern Conference side of things, Tim, and let's talk about the team that are the defending NBA champions, the Toronto Raptors. With that two seed taking on Brooklyn, and Toronto really one of these teams in the bubble that have just stayed focused, like we talked about at the beginning of this show.
They're mentally tough. They're defending champions. They're very well coached. And I just have nothing but admiration for what they did during the regular season, having lost their best player, Kawhi Leonard, the guy that helped them get the championship. And they just, you know, just laced him up, slapped their hands, you know, could get it on the hardwood, gotten their defensive stance, and away we go. So I think this series is could be a sweep. If Brooklyn gets a game, I think I'll be surprised. But I just think, you know, Pascal Siakam is a very good player. But to me, it's their total team defense and how, you know, just mentally tough they are. And they have sneakily a couple of guys, I think, that are much better players than they get credit for, simply because of where they were drafted and in some cases undrafted. Norman Powell, Fred VanVleet, I think are really good NBA players, and they've done a really nice job. Norman Powell is actually going up against Tyler Johnson, who's on Brooklyn. He got signed by Brooklyn. Tyler Johnson, the former Warriors basketball camp player who's now in the NBA. But he played for a Bay Area high school in the state championship against Norman Powell's high school. And unfortunately for Tyler, Norman Powell won that matchup. I think he's going to win this one as well.
You talk about another series here where, you know, analysts and pundits around the league are thinking it could also be a sweep, and that's the Bucks and the Magic. Orlando, not exactly with home court advantage being in Orlando in this example, but there might be a way they could make this interesting, but probably it's just the beginning of the Bucks starting to roll. What do you think, Tim?
I think if Orlando wins a game in this series, I think the first stat you should look for is their three-point shooting. The Bucks are old school. They don't defend the perimeter as much as they defend the paint. And Coach Budenholzer has stuck with that, and it's given them great success. So I think, you know, the Magic coming in, I think Aaron Gordon, I don't believe, is going to be healthy for at least the first game. But so that's going to be a problem for them. But if they have a chance to win a game, then I think it's going to be their three-point shooting. You know, Milwaukee's just very good. And like we were talking about Toronto, they're good, they're deep, they're well-coached, and they feel like it's their time. And so I see the Bucks going very far in this playoff situation, if not to the NBA Finals.
Now the series that I think could be really probably the best of all of these opening round series, and that's Pacers Heat. That really should be a battle.
It should be a battle. But the Indiana's health is a question. You know, they're bringing back players who have been, you know, banged up, like Oladipo, so that, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to get it to come together, you know, this quickly for them. You know, looking on the injury report, you have three guys who are day to day: and Miles Turner, T.J. Warren, who is having a monster bubble, Victor Oladipo, Sabonis, I believe, is not going to be able to play in the first game. So this is, I think, they're just too banged up for this, and Miami has done a real interesting thing. They went away from their starting lineup. They have been starting Myers Leonard. Remember, he had that huge game up in Portland against the Warriors in the playoffs. And so now they've gone with Bam at center And that seemed to work a lot better for them. And so I wonder if Miami's hit on something that they can that could carry them maybe to the Eastern Conference Final. I'm really intrigued to see how they play in this series. I would love it if Indiana was healthier, but I just don't think they're going to be healthy enough to capture the series.
If we could take a time machine back for this final one and go back to, like, what, 1983 or something like that, Sixers, Celtics. Oh my gosh. And this almost is on the edge of being just as sweet a proposition.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it gives you, you know, we love those old playoff rivalries in the NBA, and one of the best, Philadelphia 76ers and Boston Celtics. And this one, I think, had all the chances of having a really great series. You know, think about this. Al Horford, you know, who is in Boston for those last few years, now is a 76er. You know, so that if that's the one thing that I really am sad about is that, you know, how cool would it have been to see Philadelphia in Boston for game one, Al Horford being introduced and those Boston fans, you know, getting on Horford for switching teams and going to that team. That would have been sweet to watch and fun to participate in. But now with Ben Simmons out, I think that's a little bit of a problem for Philadelphia. They're not going to be able to rely on his defense prowess, which they could really use when you consider how well Jason Tatum is playing for Boston. So without Ben Simmons, it's going to be tough. Now, for Philadelphia, what they have in their back pocket is the fact that Joel Embiid is going to be matched up on Tice for the Celtics, Danny Tice, and that's a mismatch. And Embiid historically has done very well against Boston. So if Philadelphia advances in this series, I think it's going to be because Embiid just had a great series. But I think if you look at coming into the playoffs and having a great year, Jason Tatum has taken a step forward. He has really become a much more efficient player, much better in isolation than what he was a year ago. And that makes him really difficult to guard. I mean, he was tough to guard last year. He's really tough to guard this year. And so I think Boston, with Ben Simmons on the sideline, I give the advantage to Boston. Embiid could make it interesting.
Tim, that was great. Thank you so much. Our conversations will continue throughout the playoffs. With Tim Roy, I'm Lawrence Scott. This is Warrior Sound.
This has been Warrior Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!